This is Publishing Talks, a podcast about publishing, books, the future, the past, and the present. I'm David Wilk, your host, and today I'm talking to Liz Dubelman, who is the founder of Vidlit, VIDLIT.com, and who has been in various ways working with books and the internet for a really long time. How are you, Liz?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm very well. And of course, we've known each other for a while because I think we first met when I reached out to you when you launched Vidlit as a book trailer business, which was that more than 10 years ago, right?
Right. We launched just about 10 years ago now. And originally, it wasn't exactly a book trailer company, although that's what they've become to be known as. But what it was a time when publishers stopped putting authors on tours. So they didn't really want to pay for an author to go around and read in a bookstore or a coffee shop because it was expensive and they weren't getting a lot of audience because they weren't marketing it. And I just really felt that there was a need for something, because the way you fall in love with a story, even when you're a little child, is somebody reads to you. And who better than the person who wrote it? So we would have authors read excerpts of their books and record them. And then to add a little bit more excitement that you might have if you were seeing them live, we added some sort of primitive animation and motion graphics and some sound effects. And we used text as a visual element so that you would be reminded that this is a book and there's more of it, and you'd be able to buy it and read it. So that's basically how Vidlit started, video literature.
Right. And how many of those kind of video or book-related videos did you produce in those,
years? Over 200 of them. We've actually produced close to 300 now. Some of them are original stories, original short stories. Some of them are original poems. I actually have found that poems are quite successful these days, even probably more successful than they've ever been. And then there were some that we did for corporations that were not book-related, but rather corporations that wanted to tell a sort of side story, not their main marketing message like drink Coke, but rather our employees are great and they do amazing creative things.
And this is one of the things about video and books, I think, that's been challenging for a lot of people, is how do you connect readers? How do you find readers online in whatever form? And of course, I think it's changed a lot since you started. But today, let's say you were producing a Vidlit for a book, what would you do online to reach as many readers as possible? And how many readers can you reach?
Well, a nonfiction book is very different than a fiction book, which is very different than a poem. But if you look at it all very generally, there are bloggers out there or people that need content. And you need to identify who the audience is for this particular type of book, and create content that you can place in the place that particular reader is going. So in other words, if you're looking to buy a car, the person that you want, if you're looking to sell a car, the person you want is the person that walks into the showroom. So if I'm looking to sell a book, let's say it's a book about how to be a better nurse, I would hit all the bloggers that write about the day-to-day life of the healthcare industry or nursing or women who work or things like that. And so what we do is we, in addition to making the Vidlits, we create a list of those sites and blogs that you can put them out on. And also you create a media list of everybody you know that would be interested in it. So there are a lot of very specific magazines online and offline, and those are the people you want to give this sort of content to.
So you're still producing and distributing Vidlits today. That's not always, I mean, that's not all you're doing, but you're still doing it.
No. So what we're doing now is what we've decided was that in the past, what we did was we hit up the publishers for the money for marketing the book. These days, we found that the publishers don't really want to pay to market books that much. They'll pay a nominal fee for a well-thought-out marketing plan, usually that they come up with, and they will put it, they'll usually take everything in-house. So there wasn't that money there. And for a while, we tried to market to the authors, but it was more or less heartbreaking because authors don't make that much money to begin with, and to take their hard-earned money seemed unconscionable. So what we did was we created a kit called the Write Kit, which was part of Vidlet, that you join Vidlet for $20, and it gives you this kit on how to market your book. And the other thing we do is we have a list of artists, and we, if you give us a portion of your book or a short story or a poem, we'll go out to our artists and ask them, is this something you're interested in? Do you want to collaborate and make something bigger than just the words on the page? So in other words, if you have a poem, do you want to put a piece of art underneath it, and then it becomes a JPEG that people are more likely to take on their websites or on their blogs? Do you want, we have a bunch of animators, and we ask the animators, you know, somebody would like to collaborate with you. They don't have any money, but this might be a good collaboration. And what we do is facilitate that. So we put them together with a sound effects library with some music. We might give them an audio visual script or an idea of things. We help facilitate it, but it doesn't cost the author a lot of money. We still do have the services where we will complete everything. Start to finish, we'll record them. We'll do an audio visual script. It'll be a perfectly finished piece, and we will get it out there. But that costs a great deal of money that a lot of writers don't have.
So essentially what you're offering them is a kind of do-it-yourself marketing campaign.
Exactly.
But with help.
But with a little bit of help, yeah. And in return, we get a little piece that we can hopefully put out and show how good our marketing kit is.
So, and the people that you're talking about who would collaborate, what's in it for them? They're just simply building reputation, building portfolios?
Exactly. There are a lot of young animators and a lot of young artists that also need to be seen. And maybe their stuff isn't quite as timely. Maybe they don't have a book that's being published in a month or has been published a month ago, so they don't have anything to sell right away. But they still need a showcase. They still need to be seen.
And do you think, I mean, it sort of is a natural question, would this also mean that, let's say I wrote a children's book or a children's story, that you're offering that to collaborators, would I potentially find an animator who'd be willing to work with me on a kind of animated storytelling, or an artist who'd be willing to work with me on helping tell my story visually? So it could be more than just marketing of my project, but they could be involved in the actual creation of something.
That's our hope. We haven't had that happen yet, but our hope is to find collaborators that really want to work together and can create something, a bigger project than just by themselves. But we haven't found them yet.
You haven't found which yet?
We haven't found the artists and the writers that together want to work on one longer project. So the entire children's book illustrated or animated, or an entire graphic novel, or several pages of a poem. Usually they're short pieces. But we hope to one day. We hope to work on longer pieces one day.
So the business model for you currently is that, I mean, you get paid a very small amount of money. The $20 is not very much. Mm-hmm. So you have to hope that the collaboration that creates the marketing information will sell some books, of which you would get a piece.
Exactly.
But what if the doesn't that mean that, let's say you're working with an author, the author's working with a publisher, the author doesn't get paid for a while by the publisher. So you might be waiting a long time.
Yeah, it's a risk. It's a risk. We're hoping that what we can do, what our hope is to help authors find, connect with audiences and hopefully make money off of that eventually. But I have found that what sparked the original idea of the Write Kit, which is the sort of do-it-yourself kit, and also collaborating, putting collaborators together, artists and writers, is I found that there a lot of young people were doing this. A lot of people who were in college were already doing all of these things, but that there were writers of a certain age that were writing and not being heard, not being seen. And so I was hoping to get writers of a certain age seen.
So, but what is this? When you say a certain age, what do you mean? Over anybody over 30, or are you?
Pretty much anyone over 30. And I had a great deal of writers who contacted me who were well over 30 and who were telling me that they just finished their third book, but nobody's ever read any of them, and it was sad because you write something and it's really great to finish something, but nobody's going to pick up the mantle and get it out there to get seen or to connect with someone. And the whole point of writing is to connect with someone, is because you can say something and it can be heard by someone in a way that nobody else could say it and nobody else could hear it. It is a kind of one-to-one connection. And that's also the beauty of the internet. That's what it does best.
So do you think, though, that some of these writers, let's say over 30, maybe older, maybe well over 30, who are very, you know, they could be really good writers, but they're not innately interested in or even adept at the kinds of social interactions that social media today, modern social media online, you know, requires. So would it not be, you know, something that would be too challenging for them to use your kit if they're, you know, really not adept or used to working in social media or participating in social media, which it seems a lot of people are not. It's not even age oriented, but it just seems there are a lot of writers who for whom the social is less interesting or maybe more challenging than they are willing to undertake, and they like writing. They don't necessarily like doing all of that work.
Well, it's because they need to reframe what the work is, what social media is. Social media is no more than just writing. The problem I found when I talked to a lot of writers who don't like using social media, it's because they don't want to put out a lot of personal information. Well, that's not really required of them. What's really required of them is to put out their thoughts and their ideas as they would be writing anything. So, for example, a writer came to me with a book, and the book is this is a woman who is significantly older, and the book is called Mishpucha, which is a Yiddish term for kind of messed up family. And she really doesn't like to write about herself. She really doesn't want to put stuff out about herself. But we were able to talk about how she could put stuff out, different posts in different social media about families, her thoughts on families, her thoughts on Yiddish words, all sorts of things. And it became kind of fun for her. The idea is not, you don't need to put up things, personal things. And I think that's really where people think, they think two things. One, it's on your permanent record, whatever that may be. And two, that it's personal and people are going to sort of invade your life. They've sort of invaded your life already, especially if you're writing. And it's just another form of writing.
So, but would you, let's say I was a writer and I said, this is all just too much for me. Would you help them then instead of them having to do it themselves, help them?
Yes, we do also a social media plan where we can help them. So for example, we did a book about Josephine Roach, and this was a woman who wrote this book, Robin Muncy, and she is an academic. And so the first thing I asked her was, first of all, what's your goal? And her goal was to get it into paperback. It was only in hardcover. So we set a goal of how many books she needed. And then I asked her the most basic question, which is, why Josephine Roach? I'm sure lots of people don't even know who she is. She was like Eleanor Roosevelt around the time of Eleanor Roosevelt, except Eleanor Roosevelt was married to the president, Josephine Roach wasn't. And we talked a great deal about that. And from that, I was able to get short little tweets, short little Facebook posts. We eventually, CNN recorded her, and we were able to cut that up. And what became interesting about it is, why Josephine Roach? Why wasn't she popular anymore? Why wasn't she interesting? And she did quite well with the book. I mean, quite well, considering that it's a very academic subject.
Right. And so, well, when you say quite well, I mean
she got it, and she did get her publisher, which was Princeton, I believe,
mm-hmm.
to put it out in paperback, and they'll be coming out next year in paperback.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I think that's significant. I mean,
I think that that's a good question. I mean, what's successful? That's almost the first thing you have to set as your goal, is decide for yourself what's successful. And that's one of the questions in the Right Kit. It's also one of the questions that we ask, is what will make you feel successful? And there are three things. You need to know what will make you feel successful, know how much money you're willing to spend, have your budget in your head, know what that amount of money is, because that can also make you feel like a failure. If you spend too much money but you are still successful, you can still feel like a failure. And know how much time you're willing to spend. So if you're only willing to spend an hour a week on social media, that's fine, but don't spend more than that, because you're going to start to resent yourself for putting in more time.
So are there particular platforms or venues, tools that you recommend to writers? I mean, obviously, if you're charging people for a kit, you may not want to give away everything that's inside of it here for free. But, I think a lot of writers are really interested in what works, you know, what is meaningful. I think clearly different kinds of books will have different approaches, and different writers should have different approaches. So some of it is going to be customized, but I'm just kind of curious if you've found any particular platforms that you recommend to writers overall.
Well, one of the things that I've been really interested in lately is I've been following Periscope. And Periscope is a new sort of streaming media where anyone can broadcast anything. And I've been following Mark Jeffries, who's an author. I think he's a HarperCollins author. And he has been reading his entire book on Periscope. And so he starts out chapter one, and you get a little notice. And that's not in the kit, because that's so new.
Right. No, I think that's actually brilliant. I mean, that is actually one of the things I think is sort of funny about this. I know I'm interrupting your answer to my own question, but it's just this whole idea of the constant change and the newness of things. Periscope and Meerkat being two video streaming apps that have recently come along that have been very popular all of a sudden. For anybody who doesn't know what they are when they're hearing this, they probably will later, but as of April of 2015, they're both fairly new and probably not all that familiar to a lot of people.
No, they're not familiar to a lot of people, but I found them to be fascinating. And so you use your phone, and all you simply do is prop up your phone somewhere and read your story or talk about things, answer questions. People can type questions live, and you can answer them as, you know, just on camera, or you can use your iPad or whatever it is. And as I said, I've seen a bunch of people. I've seen poetry readings. I've seen people reading their books. I'd say next, just to raise your social media profile, Twitter is really good. I know people don't like it, but it becomes more, I know that there are some writers that don't like it, but you can make it into a game for yourself at some point. The other newer, kind of newer, not exactly newest, internet platform is Wattpad. And Wattpad, I don't know if you know about Wattpad, but Wattpad is a genre-based tool where you can write a lot of fan fiction and different things like that. And it's a continuous story, and you're constantly putting up your story. And I have found millions of people go on this and read stories. And publishers go on and look for stories to publish. And sometimes they are fan fiction, so they're coming off of another book. But a publisher might come to you and say, this is really interesting. Let's, I think the term is file off the serial numbers, change the characters slightly enough so that it's no longer so derivative of that fan fiction. Sort of like Fifty Shades of Grey and
Twilight.
And so Wattpad's been really interesting. I noticed that Pharrell, the singer who did Happy, did his book called, I think it was like 10 Ways to Be Happy, all on Wattpad. It was published nowhere else but on Wattpad.
Yeah, and I've actually, I've worked with some writers who have, you know, Wattpad, when it first started, was really about aspiring writers and a community of writers and readers working on helping writers become better and finding an audience that would communicate back to them their, you know, about their work. But I think, and that still is true, I think, to a great extent. But for a writer who is maybe not brand new or not, you know, seeking commentary from a reading audience, it can still be really valuable because it gives you a chance to post chapters. And, you know, there are people who have posted entire books onto Wattpad over a period of time. And then subsequently, those books have been published.
Right.
So, and I think for people who are already published, Wattpad is still pretty interesting. I'm also, I've thought about Medium as another mechanism for writers who want to reach an audience because Medium has an audience. It's sort of like, you know, if you the theory being go to where people are rather than try to get them to come to you.
Absolutely. Which is why one of the most important things for a writer is to keep an email list, even if it just starts out as your friends and family. It's very important to keep a list of people that you want to keep in touch with, and whether that is stuff about your own work or whether you want to write about other, endorse other writers, it's very important to keep an email list of people. And there are a lot of great services.
Well, I want to ask about that because I think email and email writing is really an interesting it's an interesting situation for a writer, you know, where you worry about, you know, you put all your friends and your family on your email list. And so then you have to figure out what are you going to say to them and how frequently and how much of it is going to be personal, how much of it is going to be promotional, how much of it is going to be about the work, or, you know, what is it you're trying to do? And I think I'm guessing that you have some ideas that you would tell to a writer, giving them some guidance for how to think about this email list concept and the idea of having a kind of regular outbound email or newsletter or whatever you might want to call it. So what do you recommend to people?
Well, my recommendation, which might be different than other people's, is not to have a regular email, but have an email when you are ready to say something. I don't think it's a good idea, unless you're very prolific, I don't think it's a good idea just to send things out. The second thing I think is for you to think of yourself as a whole person. So I'm a writer, but I'm also a marketer. I also am a reader. I also have friends that I like to promote. I also come across very cool websites for readers. And so when I encourage people to put all those things into their newsletters, So you may put in a piece of your new book or a new poem, a poem of the week or a poem of the month or whatever it is that you like, but you might also promote somebody else's poem. I often use places like Open Culture, different places to find interesting things to read that are public domain. That's a big part of me, of who I am as a reader and a writer, is I like to find all the public domain stories because I'm really concerned that reading and writing will become the hobby of the rich. That's just who I am. And so in my newsletters, I'm very careful to put in a lot of free things because I want it to be available to everybody. So I really encourage people to think of two things. One is to know who you are, figure out who you are and the things that interest you, and know that the people that you have on your list are interested in you, not just as a writer, but as a whole person. And the second thing is don't send an email unless you have something to say.
I think that's good advice. Is it possible to make a video of some kind using your toolkit and include that in your email?
What we found is the best is to put it up on something on YouTube or on Vimeo and put a link in it.
Got it. So in other words, you're not sending out a video file because it's too big.
Because that's when people start to get annoyed, right? If you start to clog their,
Right.
Somebody sent me an email recently about all these books that were out of print, and I found it to be the most engaging thing. And really, it was an author that had nothing to do with any of these out-of-print books.
Right, he was just sharing. Well, yeah, that whole idea that you're sharing personal interests is valuable. I think that you know, there's a lot to be gained from giving rather than just promoting.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, I appreciate it when people recommend books that they think I should read because they're so excited about them. You know, I think that the enthusiasm and is what you were saying before about being who you are. I think part of being who you are is to share the parts of yourself that are most engaging. And that's going to be what you care about, what you're enthusiastic about, what's meaningful to you.
Exactly.
So, you know, at this point, since you've been, you know, in a lot of ways, you've been working in what we'll call media, social media and other kinds of media for a long time. And you've been working with writers and publishers for a long time. And I guess I'd be really interested to hear your view of where we are today and where we're headed. You know, the challenge, I think, still is, or more than ever, is that there are so many books and that it's not that readers need to find you. It's that writers need to find readers. The readers have a surfeit of things to read. I mean, I have more books to read than I can possibly ever finish in my lifetime already in my house or on my, or on my iPad or computer. I mean, there is no lack of content. So it's not that I, as a reader, need more stuff to find to read, but it's that writers who write, and you were talking about this before, writers want to be read. They are writing in order to communicate. So the challenge for the writer is how do we find more of those really busy people out there? And so I would say, you know, I'd want to know your thoughts about that challenge that seems to me will only get bigger as time goes on, because we're going to have more, there's no end to content, and and everything that's in print stays in print. So, you know, we'll have millions and millions and millions of books and millions and millions and millions of short stories and poems and every other form of writing that you can imagine, all competing with video and music and, you know, everything else you can think of. So what do you think, you know, where does that leave us? Where do we go with that?
It's a really good question, and there are many parts to the answer. But one of them is as a writer, you need to realize you're competing for the same hours and dollars, if it's the case, if that's the case, if you're not giving away your work, if you're trying to make a living at it, you're competing with multinational corporations who are putting out rather singles, songs, and television shows and movies, and you're competing for that same leisure time. And that's why it's so important that you use everything you have in your arsenal, which in a lot of cases means the computer and social media. It's a thing that will equalize things to a certain degree, that will at least break down some barriers, to tell people who you are and the interesting message you can provide for them. And I'm a big fan of fiction. And if I find a writer who is on Twitter or something like that, that says something in an interesting way that connects with me, I will buy their book. I feel like this is a very big global question, and maybe that everything, as you said before, everything is continuously in print now because of the internet, because of print on demand. And I'm not sure that's a great idea. I'm not sure that it's a good idea that everything should be in print and all the time. But that's the way it is. And I think that some of these things will shake out just because of time and because of the way people start to read in attrition. I think one of the best ways to get your stuff seen is to write short things that people can read on mobile devices or can listen to on their phone while they're waiting for a bus, a train, in the doctor's waiting room. I think longer pieces are harder to get seen. People just don't have the time. They're competing for the same hours as Mad Men and the next Star Wars trilogy. It's just the way our world is right now. It doesn't mean that the work isn't as valuable. The work may be even more valuable. I may read something that so connects with me so deeply that it changes my life. I actually read the Patrick Melrose novels recently, and there was one line in it that so connected with my life that I can even remember the page number it was on. And that's when you know that you're reading something that was just really, in some more metaphysical way, was really meant just for you. And that's what we're all looking for, to get something out there that we can connect with.
That is the eternal truth of art, essentially.
And it's worth trying. It's a worthy goal.
Oh, I agree. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Liz.
Anytime.
It was a pleasure. This has been Publishing Talks. I've been talking to Liz Dubelman of Vidlit, VIDLIT.com. I'm David Wilk, your host.